Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty is a professor at Florida International University, specializing in infectious diseases, and she's done this for many, many years, 40 years of clinical and research work in the field. She advises the World Health Organization. And Dr. Marty, first question for you this morning. Will the government issue guidance on masks? What will we be hearing from the task force later on today?
Well, I would have to have the crystal ball to tell you that there's a lot of debate going on about it, mainly because there are elements there who don't think that people will understand when we talk about using masks specifically for protecting others as opposed to for protecting ourselves, and then the quality of the mask and the safety of using the mask. So there's a lot of debate going on, but the reality is that, yes, if, you know, there is community spread going on. A high percentage of asymptomatic people who absolutely have no idea that they're infected but could be infecting others. And so truly the polite thing to do in society until we get past this outbreak is that if you absolutely have to be out in public for some urgent reason, like groceries or going to the doctor's office, that you should, in fact, wear a mask.
And we're concerned, though, about the supply of masks for the medical workers who really need them, aren't we?
You're absolutely right. And that's why the conversation is about homemade masks. Masks that wouldn't necessarily, but they might, depending on how good you make them at home, protect you, but really about protecting others from you. And since none of us know 100% for sure which of us is possibly harboring the virus, it's just the polite thing to do to use these kind of homemade masks, because we're not trying to take away the masks that people need. In fact, there was a really interesting study that came out of MIT, Bob, that I can tell you that is a little scary for us healthcare workers.
Yeah, in what way?
Well, they did these studies of the clouds that are generated when somebody coughs or sneezes. Now, sneezing is not a big issue with COVID-19, but coughing certainly is. And they were able to show that the force and the distance that the little droplets of virus go can be as much as 27 feet. And with that kind of force, those of us wearing N95 masks are a little bit concerned as to how much even the N95 mask protects us from those kind of projections by patients.
All right, Professor, let me tell you about the argument I had with Marianne last night. I told her they do a complete disinfecting, deep cleaning of the studio overnight. And I said to her, don't worry. And she says, well, what if one of the guys doing the cleaning had the virus? I mean, how much do we have to worry about something like that?
Well, so the person doing the cleaning ought to definitely be wearing a mask for two reasons. In the case of the cleaning, that is a situation, that's the same kind of situation as somebody who is a healthcare worker in many senses, because they're possibly up close and personal to clean off this space. And second of all, because they, as you suggest, or as Mariana suggested, may in fact be infected. So if they're wearing a mask, that's going to reduce that risk entirely, not entirely, but significantly. And the products that are used, we now have these fogging devices that can be used. It can really, really help clean up a space. And if you like, I'll send you some material on that afterwards.
Yes, I'd like to see that. People are wondering, when they're out running or walking, is 6 feet far enough to be away from somebody who might be perspiring a little bit? We heard a lot last night about the virus possibly being spread through just normal talking and breathing, not just coughing or sneezing. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you'll remember we've talked about talking as a means of transmission for over a month and a half already. So that's not really news. I'm surprised that they were talking about it last night. This is something we know. That's the whole business of the asymptomatic carrier. That person's not coughing. That person's not sneezing. They're asymptomatic. So it's only through, you know, normal activities that is being shed in the mouth. And it makes sense that it's coming from the mouth or the nose. There's no data right now about sweat or anything like that as being a source of the virus, although we do know that it's in feces. And in fact, in children, it can last in feces long after it's not detectable in other ways from the child. So you don't detect it from their nose or their mouth or from their blood, but it's still in the feces.
A lot of people this weekend are going to be getting food to go and are going to be wondering about how safe that is, thinking about people who prepare the food, thinking about the containers. What guidance can you give us on that?
Well, we haven't found any transmission from consumption of food yet, and the evidence for it is extremely limited, if anything. And if your food is cooked, then again, that risk is almost nil to none, especially if you reheat it at home. So that would be fine. It's those uncooked foods that might be an issue. And the other thing that might be an issue is the wrappers that they're wrapped in. So definitely remove the wrapper from the food, wash your hands, and if it's it's a hot meal, go ahead and reheat it a little bit and then enjoy it.
Is the current thinking now that this will return in the fall? Dr. Fauci says yes, but we'll be ready for it, so it's not going to be the same. What's your opinion on that?
Well, this is a worldwide outbreak, and what's happening here is happening at different paces in different parts of the world. And we've already seen that nations who relax their travel restrictions have had a little bit of a boomerang effect as their numbers have gone down or their new cases have gone down to almost zero or zero. Then they open up their borders and the pathogen comes back in. And this can happen from a variety of ways. And so, yeah, there's that. And there's the fact that it's not estimated that even by August or September that the entire population would have encountered the virus. So there will definitely be people who are still susceptible in the fall to the first infection. And so, yeah, there's very likely that it'll go up, especially if we don't really get it down to zero. Yeah, even without changing anything about our borders, as long as the virus is here amongst us, if we relax our types of protocols, it's always possible that there could be a second or third wave.
Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist, always good talking to you, informative, and who knows what next week will bring, right?
Well, we're trying to come up with as many solutions as we can and as quickly as we can. So hopefully all those nasty predictions will go away if some of these new things that we're developing come to pass.
Let's hope for it. Enjoy your weekend if you can, Doctor. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.